Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast. This is part two of my conversation with Sean Wildermuth, president of Agilitrain. Let's pick it up with his last statement, a very provocative comment about what we face in terms of the emerging technology for web and related development.
As web developers, we're going to have to learn a bunch of different platforms. We're just going to. What's interesting about that is most of the platforms are a lot simpler than they were even 5 years ago, and certainly than 15 years ago. And so having to have the kind of deep knowledge of a single technology, I don't think is realistic anymore. I think people are going to find out that to build a consumer-facing product today, you're going to need to know HTML5, you're going to need to know a backend like Ruby on Rails or ASP.NET MVC, you're going to need to know Silverlight or Flash or one of those technologies to build sort of the internal application structure. You're probably going to need to learn something like Objective-C or MonoTouch in order to get out there on things like handsets and tablets. So to me, it's sort of a weird renaissance where pretending that we can learn one technology and it's going to be applicable across the board, I think, is foolish.
Well, I think that is going to resonate as bad news for a lot of developers, even for developers who prefer to learn new things and not just get stuck in a production rut. That's a lot of technology to learn, and they're not nearly as difficult as they were 15 years ago, but there's still a few weeks to a few months of intensive learning for each of those technologies, keeping up with all of that. And you didn't mention even CSS3 and all the ancillary technologies that go with them. Keeping up with all of that is going to become a significant challenge.
I think that's true. I think that's true. And so, it may be that depending on your organization, some of that may be, separated into the web guys that do the HTMLness and the programmers that do the back-end generation, the Razor and MVC or web forms. Sort of idea there, and then you have sort of the application developers. But I think as organizations, we need all of those folks. And in small organizations, that's going to have to be a small number of folks. Now, you can mitigate that a bit. If you look at something like using ASP.NET on the back end, using HTML5 on the front end, using Silverlight as well on the front end for sort of the application level or the management apps, if you want to think about it that way. And then something like MonoTouch and MonoDroid to handle the phone situations as well as Windows Phone 7. You're talking about C# on almost every situation except for the HTML5. And so, yeah, there are frameworks to learn, but there's always frameworks to learn. You can still use those same language skills that you have everywhere. And in that way, I think you can get over that hump a bit. I just think that pretending that we can build an HTML5 app that runs well on tablets and phones in a consistent way, I think that's a mistake. I know that that's the story that the IE9 team seems to be continuing to push, but I don't buy it. I'm building a product right now, and so a lot of this comes out of that experience of knowing that non-native experiences on different platforms, that they don't work. People don't buy them. People don't use them. The only time that you can get away with, sort of building an application that maybe doesn't look and feel native on everywhere it works is when your boss tells you you have to use it. And, you can get away with that in some ways in large enterprises, but it doesn't mean that the apps are going to work well. It just means they're going to work.
Yes. Can you tell us anything about your product, or is it too early?
It's way too early. We're hoping by late summer to be able to start announcing some of the first pieces of it. But right now, everything's pretty quiet.
I'll look forward to that. Tell me about Phony Tools.
So Phony Tools is a small open source project that I have out on Codeplex, phony.codeplex.com, Phoney. It's just a kind of a grab bag full of features that I need on the phone. That's really what it comes down to. I needed it to build the handful of apps that I've written. And so there are some things that just get around having to have reusable code, things like, detection of what kind of network you're on, things like that. There's a handful of controls that I needed, like a clearable text box as an example, and kind of a replacement for message box that was a little friendlier, and a number of other features. There wasn't an overarching story around Phony. I didn't build it going, ooh, I want to solve these four problems. It was controls that I had sitting around in my own little utility project that I'd used across them and just decided to open source them. So a lot of people found pieces of it helpful, but there's nothing in it that's overarching as far as it isn't an MVVM framework where you're going to use this base class or this base class. It's just sort of a grab bag of stuff that I think most Windows Phone developers run into here and there.
But there's some great stuff in there. I first really had a chance to look at it at the open source, what would we call that, party at Mix?
I think John Papa refers to it as the open source fest.
Yes, fest. And that was quite a fest. Did you enjoy participating in that?
I did. It was a lot of fun. Got to talk with a lot of people who had never seen it and a lot of people who had been using it, and kind of good feedback on both ends of it. So that was it was nice to be able to kind of show off some of the stuff that we'd been working on. And it was a lot of fun.
It was kind of a neat activity at Mix. It was very open source oriented. It put a lot of people who knew of each other in the same room but perhaps had not met before. And so there was a lot of good conversation in that room when you could hear.
Yeah, it was, if you ignore the impersonator singing, it was a great event, I think. And actually, it was much better attended than I expected. When I first heard about Open Source Fest, I imagined that a bunch of the attendees would roll their eyes and then end up at a bar somewhere else. I was glad to see that it was actually really well attended.
No, apparently they had over 500 attendees, and in John Papa's interview on Herding Code, he mentions that they ran out of food and replenished the food 3 times, so that's always a good sign.
It is, because 300 is what, a quarter of the attendees?
Remember that this was the first day, so there was only about 1,000 attendees there at the time, so it's close to half the attendees.
Oh, that's great, yeah, to get that many people to show up and to care. It was nice. I would have liked to have spent more time walking around and seeing some of the projects that I haven't had a chance to look at. Some of the more interesting ones were people that were doing stuff around the 3D stuff. I found really interesting Walt Richards' stuff around being able to write pixel shaders with his little framework, and then a bunch of the frameworks around building 3D stuff on top of the Silverlight 5 stuff. I thought was kind of the sexiest stuff there.
Tell me a little bit about 3D. When you say that, is this put on the glasses and it really appears to pop out of the screen, or what are we talking about when we talk about 3D on the web?
Well, when we're talking about 3D on the web, we're talking about doing 3D, true 3D modeling on the web to be able to build, three-dimensional objects and manipulate them on the web. We're not talking about a stereographic projection. We're talking about, the same sort of engines that are used to build Doom and Quake and those sorts of things, or more importantly for Silverlight developers, things like 3D visualizations and 3D graphs and those sorts of things.
So this is the spinning house that they showed at the keynote, that you could take the roof off and look inside and turn it around and get a real sense of the three-dimensional projection.
Absolutely. So what's interesting is the Silverlight 5 support for 3D is actually pretty low level, and that's exactly what a lot of these open source and commercial guys wanted. They wanted really access to be able to build these primitive, triangles to draw on the screen so that they could write stuff on top of it. So the typical Silverlight developer isn't going to care about the nature of the 3D support in Silverlight. They're going to care about the people that use that support. So most developers are never going to actually write 3D on their own. They're going to use either a framework, or you can imagine something like a Teller control that did 3D graphing. Those guys are going to build on top of the 3D stack, not most developers.
But most developers will build on top of the things that those developers build.
Absolutely. And I the question comes, how much of this do you show and care about in a business app? And, on the face of it, you can go, well, I don't care about it at all. And then you start to see it sort of creep in when you start to look at, dashboards and visualizations. 3D starts to become pretty important to do, interesting ways to help people visualize what's going on in an organization. And dashboards are a pretty common thing that are built on top of Silverlight.
Let me take you in one more direction before I let you go.
Sure.
within the confines of what has been publicly announced at Mix, what's in Mango that you're excited about?
Let me make sure I don't say anything I shouldn't say. There's quite a lot that I'm excited about. There's two sides to Mango. You know, there's the consumer side and there is the developer side. There have been some announcements lately about what some of the things that are going to be in the consumer side that really excite me, but I'll let you bing those for yourself. The other side of it, on the developer side, the background task, the multitasking, I think is really good. My fear from the beginning was that the multitasking, that they were going to screw it up and we were going to get back to Windows 6.5 where everyone could write background tasks that took down the machine like you can on Android. So I'm glad that they were really careful with the way they implemented that. Access to the camera, I think, is going to open it up more ubiquity with the kinds of apps that can be built with on Android and iPhone will now be able to be built on Windows Phone. There's a bunch of, you know, augmented reality and translation. Having real-time access to the camera, I think, is a big deal.
Do you think having access to a back-end database will be significant for Windows Phone apps?
I think it will be significant in that developers will have one less thing to complain about. I'm a database guy going back, you know, 100 years now or however long.
Weren't you related to ADO.net guy?
I was the ADO guy for a long, long time. So, you know, a lot of people have asked me, you know, isn't the database access in Mango awesome to have now? And it is. It's an important filler. My problem always was that everybody said, oh, there's database access on Windows 6.5, therefore we should use it. And that's my trepidation here, is that there are system resources that you're consuming when using the database that you shouldn't if you don't need a database. So people that need to be able to do real querying against a relational store need it. And there's a bunch of business apps out there that absolutely can benefit from it. But then there's the 80% of apps out there who should be saving to an XML or a JSON file locally because it's going to be 10 times faster than the database can be. Because all they have is some structured storage. So instead of inside and on the phone going, okay, let me map from my objects to a relation store and then from relation store back to objects, and all I'm doing is doing that sort of work, my fear is that every app's going to start using it and then it's going to slow down every app and do more resources on the phone. And so I'm cautious about the way we're teaching this on the phone. Is it's great to have the feature, but don't use it unless you know what you're doing.
Fair enough. Some of the other features that were announced at Mix were fast app switching and more control over the notifications.
I think both of those are good. One of the fast app switching, I think, is going to be helpful from a consumer base, right? From a user base. From a developer, you're still going to need to handle tombstoning because it still can happen, but it should happen less often, which of course is going to be good. So going back and forth, I think it's going to be good. The more access to things like notifications and being able to access the address book and things like that are also, you know, more completion points. We're going to be able to do more interesting sort of apps in that way. And oddly, you know, as a user of the phone, it is my main phone. Things like ringtones are really exciting, even though they're you know, sort of a simple idea. The turn-by-turn navigation that they've announced recently, I think is going to be really important. Again, these are things that they're playing catch-up a little, but I think that Mango's going to get us pretty close to feature-complete in competition with iPhone and Android, which I'm hoping will help us, you know, close that gap as well. Because from a usability standpoint, I think the phone is spectacular. There's just been some holes that have been hard for me to, you know, tell my mother and sister that they should have a Windows phone because it's not quite feature complete for consumers yet. And I think Mango will get us there.
Okay, just to be clear so that we're careful here, turn by turn, as I understand it, has been reported in the press, but not, I don't believe, announced by Microsoft as
correct.
A feature.
Correct. But I actually don't know the source of I know WinRumors.com is where it was announced and talked about at length, but I don't know his source of information. But his sources are usually pretty good. I'm not saying that Microsoft has announced it. I apologize if it came out that way.
That's quite all right. I just, you know, because of being a Microsoft employee, I have to be just slightly careful that I'm not agreeing
sure.
that that's a feature
Sure.
Although but I have read the same news stories you have.
I would be amazed if it didn't. Then there, if you know, half of what WinRumors.com said is true, you know, it's all really exciting. One of the things that I really wanted on the phone as a developer, which I'm really hoping makes it, is access to the voice API stuff. So being able to record in my app and then send it to speech recognition service and then get back the text so that I can use it for a variety of reasons, I think is a real interesting feature.